let's hope what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Because that was not the greatest of evenings for Toronto Maple Leafs fans. Unless you listen to the Just $5 segment in the Wake and Rake and you hit the Michael Amadio anytime goal. Well, the Phil Kessel first goal scorer was ripped from your grasp.
I was going to say, like, it was a good night for Just $5 bettors with Michael Amadio scoring versus the Toronto Maple Leafs, which is very predictable. But it should have been, like, an amazing night. Because you literally said, I think we actually have the clip, too. We have the clip prepared. But you literally said, you mentioned parlaying these two, which is the most preposterous thing ever. Like, no one should be taking that seriously. And yet, it should have cashed. What was the number again?
It was, like, plus 2 million. Josh has got the clip because we need to just put this out in the radio waves that it happened, because last night everyone was sleeping when it happened. So good morning. Give me some credit. A name that we might have not thought of in a very long time. Michael Amadio. Remember him? Stint with the Maple Leafs.
I'm surprised he didn't like fix everything that ailed Vegas last year when he went over.
Michael Amadio. He's in the lineup. You want to parlay Phil and Michael plus 1900. That's not what I'm suggesting, but it's just something that would be hilarious. And do you know how it works? That he'll probably score.
I'm down with Phil. I'm less down for Amadio.
I put it out there.
The cooler has to add that little comment in there.
Thanks, Justin.
How is that only plus 1,900? You said a plus a million. It should have been plus a million.
Oh, man. What a night.
What a night?
For Michael Amadio.
And
Phil Kessel. With an asterisk, because that should have been, that's so annoying. That should have been a goal.
That was like the only time ever that Leaf fans kind of didn't care if the goal stood. Well, you roll your eyes, but I feel like you
agree. No, I 100% agree. I thought, come on, we're taking a timeout to review a play that, like, you know, it's just a fraction of a hair. It's Phil Kessel's 400th goal in the night.
And he kind of got pushed over the line, too.
And it was the night that, you know, history was on the cusp of being made. He's a fan favorite, former Leaf. That's when technology has gone too far.
We kind of set the priorities a little bit, eh? We're like, you know, clearly we want to see the Leafs do well, but we want stories. We want stuff to talk about more than a Leafs victory, because it just would have been awesome if we could have talked about, I guess now we're talking about it in a negative light, but him scoring that goal, you cashing just $5 first goal, which was plus 1,400, Phil having a night on his night. I mean, it was all there, but you know, that's when the eye in the sky makes its money, that they were able to pull that one back. And that's why the spirit of the rule has been ruined, because you got someone on payroll who's just looking for this little nuance or this little technicality that you can use to take back a goal in hockey. Like, again, we should be trying to promote scoring. We should be trying to promote flow and pace and comebacks and everything that comes with more goals. And yet we're actively trying to take some off the board based on something that had no bearing on the play at all. Like, it is ridiculous, especially that you can call a timeout just to be sure. It should happen instantaneously.
There should honestly be a 10-second ticker.
Exactly.
It's like, you're going to do it or you're not going to do it. 10.
We good?
9.
Okay, eight. We're dropping the puck on time, every time. I guess he could have taken his time out and they done it. And they, you know,
they did do that.
Issued the challenge under normal circumstances. But I don't even think that should be allowed.
How are you feeling this morning? Because it was your first experience with a West Coast game with three different sporting events bleeding into each other. Yeah. And this morning I walk into the studio. Justin's here first. Fired up before 6:30. Hopefully before 6:30, before 5:30.
Yeah.
With a extra large
Red Bull
in his hand. A thick Red Bull.
I'm feeling it. Like, my head's kind of...
You're a little buzzy.
I'm a little buzzy. It's, I think I actually, I figured out the strategy. The Raptors throw a little bit of a wrinkle in all this. Because you have to be present at 7, between 7:30 and 10. You have to be taken.
Present.
You have to be present on the couch. Taking in a sporting event. So it kind of complicates matters. But I see no reason to stay up till 12:30 and going through commercials, except on
Sportsnet. Yeah, it slows it down.
Sportsnet broadcast,
hey,
maybe.
You know what? Sportsnet broadcast, beautiful commercials.
Yeah, well, I mean, you need the intermissions. Again, this is for a different time. But I see no reason to stay up. I watched the last two periods of the Maple Leafs this morning. Woke up at 3 a.m. Started watching by 3:15. Coffee in hand.
That's smart.
Skipping through every stoppage. I watched the game in about 45 minutes. It was fantastic. Maybe 50 minutes. With the coffee.
Where's the extra 10
tall
minutes?
Scrolling.
Hurry up.
Just a little added time.
It should have been exactly 40 on the dot.
But it's perfect. You got that little skip ahead 30 seconds thing.
Yeah,
and it's
nice.
That's basically every stoppage. You just find your rhythm and now I'm good to go. I'm going to be any late game. Maybe even 8 p.m. starts.
8 p.m.? Come on.
8 p.m. starts, get in bed,
grow
and just
up.
watch the game in the morning.
This Thursday, you have a massive test, though, because it's a 10:30 start in San Jose.
Do the Raptors don't play. I think they play Friday night.
No, but you got Thursday night football.
So I will not watch a single period of that game that night. Wake up the next morning. Me and Gunnar break it down. I'll be fired up.
With your Red Bull in hand.
Maybe. Maybe I don't even need it because I'll be in bed so early. The Red Bull might only be for the Raptors play at 7. Mm. Leafs start at 10:30.
Crazy. We're in a little bit different boats. I feel a little grumpy this morning because I didn't get a nap yesterday because my apartment, which everybody knows the saga, is being re-leased or whatever.
It's progress, though.
Yeah, but I had, in the last 24 hours, 8 showings, all staggered in 30-minute intervals, so you can't even go back in. So, as soon as the show ended, I rip home and, tidy things and put, personal things away. I don't want them scrolling through my diary. And
your diary.
Imagine I had a diary. And I have to leave my house all day and just stroll the streets of Toronto. I mean, it's a beautiful day to do that. But I'm let me get home and just, crawl into bed. I'm exhausted. And they're just pondering, looking at things. And I'm do you want this place or not? It's a disaster. I almost wanted
to... Did they see the walls after
I almost wanted to stand up there and be don't do it. This place sucks. But I just...
You're not stuck, right?
No.
You're good. You're out.
I got other plans, yeah. But I just felt that's kind of counterproductive because then there's going to be more showings. So I just, let it happen all day long.
You need someone real desperate to come in and you'd be trust me, you'll like it.
There was one part where I was waiting in the lobby and there's clearly a guy that was going up to my apartment and I was how long have you been looking for? And he's 3 weeks, but the market is crazy right now because, let's say you're going for something that's $2,500. He said that he offered $3,000 instead of $2,500 and 6 months advanced rent and he didn't get the place.
It's tough times, eh?
That's shocking. So I don't know. Let the vultures go out of my apartment. But yeah, I didn't get to sleep. So
I have a quick sports-related rent story if you want me to tell
it. Please.
So several years ago, looking for a new place. Market was a lot cooler at that point. I don't think $2,500 is on the line at all.
It's ridiculous.
But someone wants inquire and someone wants to show us the place. So I'm like, all right. Go look at it. This is where I want to live. It should be great. And then he's like, the realtor is like, there's a TFC player that lives here.
Ooh,
it's pretty
famous.
Cool. So it's like, yeah, they're right near BMO. It's a great spot for young people and athletes. It's a good community. So cool. TFC player lives there. We show up. It's supposed to be cleared out. And it is pretty much cleared out. Except for the TFC player.
Ooh.
The TFC player and their companion.
Oh.
So we knock on the door. There's a little scrambling inside. I don't know the name of this TFC player, by the way.
I think you probably do.
That was confidential information. I actually don't. I would never.
You didn't see his jersey hanging on the wall?
No. Everything was in boxes, except the player is still hanging out. So we come back in 30 minutes. The player was supposed to be gone. The player's still there. Player locks himself in the bathroom with companion.
Oh no.
Refusing to leave.
They're probably just
They're just, board games, whatever. Something's going, innocent Monopoly, whatever. Locked themselves in the bathroom. So we didn't get to see the bathroom. We get to see the rest. And
Did you put in an offer?
Didn't put in an offer because we didn't get the whole experience.
I hope you tell
we didn't
me
get
who
the same experience as the TFC player. I actually don't know. They wouldn't tell me.
I wish you did. Wow. Good on you.
Good on the TFC player.
Yeah, good on him.
Just fun and games.
Well, today is going to shape out to be a better day. And it's a special day on the Fan Morning Show. Happy birthday to our producer, Daniele, who turns 26 this morning.
So young, 26.
Young, spry.
Whole life ahead of him.
Spry Daniele. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Daniele. Happy birthday to you. Woo! Congratulations on being born.
Very exciting.
October 25th. I bet he's
fired up right now about being sung to on live radio.
Can you come on the radio?
Thank you very much.
Oh, that's it, eh? Any plans?
Speech?
Yeah, we'll see. I have basketball practice this afternoon, so we'll see how things go.
Tonight you're getting a triple-double.
Well, I'm not playing. I coach, but that's what we're doing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You got to share more. We had no idea you were coaching.
Who are you coaching? What's the age group?
But yes, this is the return, the much-anticipated return after a couple years away and now back in the game finally, so
okay.
Wow. How's your team looking?
We'll find out. I haven't seen them yet, to be honest. This is a junior prep team, and I haven't seen them yet, but we will find out. And, it should be good.
I just quickly looked up famous athlete birthdays. You share a birthday with none other than Wendell Clark. Hell yeah.
How do you feel about that?
That's pretty good.
No response? Find a basketball player?
That's pretty cool. At least I don't share your birthday with Drake. His was yesterday.
Yeah, he would outshine you, unfortunately.
October's very own. About him. Drake and Daniele.
Well, congrats.
Thank you very much.
Have a wonderful day. We'll try to make the show.
My gift to you was not singing on live radio.
Well, you should have. That would have been the gift.
I shouldn't have. That you haven't heard me sing. I'm the guy at like family parties who's just humming, trying to like provide
Why does that not surprise me?
I can't sing.
Sometimes you just gotta put yourself out there, Justin.
We'll leave that to you.
Anyway, those Maple Leafs losing to
we were able to get through about 13 minutes without having to actually talk about that performance because it doesn't really merit much discussion.
It doesn't. It looked like they had spent 2 days in Vegas and they're going to spend 2 more days in Vegas, which is all factual information. Yeah, they've just been chilling. I listened to the broadcast. They're just going to hang out.
You know they're hanging out for another couple days?
Well, that's what the broadcast says.
It's the one I sped through, though.
Yeah, if you listened. Anyway, they've been hanging. They've been enjoying themselves. Clearly look like it. The slowest starts of all time each period. Like, I don't know what they do when they go back in the dressing room.
Were they enjoying themselves between periods?
They might have been.
The starts of periods, they didn't get going in the first and second period till about, like, 7.5 minutes. Until 7.5 minutes remaining. Like, it took them 12.5 minutes each period to get settled in. And the worst shifts of the game were the first few shifts of each period. And that's like, it's so simple. And it's like, okay, well, like, why does this happen? And you could ask people that. And we have Kipper on later and probably will ask him that. But I don't even think there's a good answer. Like, there's no real reason for every start of the period to be awful. And especially when it's like, okay, this is a hard reset. We're going to be better the next period. Let's start off hot. Like, you can say it, but like, I don't understand how that can't translate. And this is like the forever discussion with this team. It's like when they need to be really good, when they need to respond, when they need to have a bounce back effort, it usually isn't automatic. It's not there immediately. And I'm not sure what that is that's missing. Is it they're just like the lack of crash and bang energy line? I'm not sure exactly what is missing. But that thing that we see in hockey so often where you have a tone setting shift because you need one just never comes from this Maple Leafs team.
That's where the fourth line would have been nice to have an impact.
And yeah, they were playing in the game and there was zero impact.
The major positive from yesterday's game.
They being Wayne Simmonds and Kyle Clifford.
Yeah,
should be.
Who are my favorites? Ilya Samsonov was electric.
Starting with the positives?
Yeah, he held that team in there. He's looked excellent. I think we've forgot to give him his praise sometimes because there's no other option. So just go in there and play your best. But last night, he was incredible.
Yeah, he continues to do the job for sure. And maybe there was like When is it going to come crashing down? When is it like he's 4-0 coming in last night, mm-hmm. played spectacularly, drops to 4-1. So you can't complain about him at any turn so far, which
the only
is
thing
all
I'll complain
you can
about
ask for.
Is he's slip and slide in the nets. Like he's wearing Cooperalls. We talked about that.
Yeah. You noticed that last night as much as the previous?
Yeah, I did. Okay. He gets a bit frazzled in there.
He made a couple outstanding saves early.
He sure did. That's what I'm saying. Like he held that team in there while they were, I don't know, snoozing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's like, if he had a perfect foundational skill set, if his fundamentals were perfect, then he'd still be a Washington Capital. Yeah. So there's clearly things that he's working on, but if he can continue to put up the numbers he's been doing, I mean, the Leafs are in decent hands. I worry. We'll spin this to the Tavares thing now.
Mm.
It's like they're so thin at every position. If you lose one of these difference makers, if you lose Ilya Samsonov right now, you're cooked. If you lose
Majorly.
John Tavares right now, you might be cooked.
So there was that
you
period
lose Matthews
of time.
Or Marner, you're cooked. You lost Muzzin, you're getting overcooked. And if you lose anyone else, you're done on the back end. Like there is like the margin for error here seems so thin, and that's a position they put themselves in,
mm-hmm.
but it's also a reflection of what they did in the offseason or weren't able to do this offseason, because the depth that we talked about that I was so over the moon about, it's not...
Best line in hockey.
It's not... The best line in hockey is in the press box and enjoying 5 straight days of no activity in Vegas other than extracurricular.
There's been some activity in Vegas.
So right now, there's no goal scoring beyond the 4, the top 4, the big 4, the core 4, whatever. Even the contributions from the top pairing have been lacking all year. Justin Hall had his moments again last night. But like it's like they're kind of just hanging on in all these different spots, and it is a little bit concerning right now.
They got cooked on defense. Hemmed in, outskated, outmuscled. It was like ECHL level
mm-hmm.
defending last night. That's why I felt, okay, there's the major missing keys for sure on defense last night. I felt it. It looked, and it's the Vegas Golden Knights, they, you know, have a lot of young studs, Michael Amadio out there. It looked like they were hemmed in their zone, and it didn't help that the starts were slow, and that's where Ilya Samsonov, God, changed his name, where he came in big, but the D zone was horrid.
The go-ahead goal, which surprisingly, when you think about the game, came minutes into the seconds into the third period. Like, it was a tight game, tie going into the third. Mm. I guess that sort of, like, clouds my judgment because I knew the result before I watched the game. But that's inexcusable. Like, we talk about the starts of the periods. They literally left someone all alone in front who had all the time in the world to put the puck in the net. And then, of course, the Amadio mistake was Victor Mete's because he overplayed the puck mm-hmm. carrier, Leafs with a sloppy change, Amadio scores. So you can point to specific things that happened that resulted in goals, but the entire thing was flawed from start to finish. There was Samsonov bailing out poor defensive plays. There were issues across the board, and there were really, really ugly ones that stand out and actually hurt them. So I was curious what Sheldon Keefe was going to say post-game. Because it felt like, hey, you could use another bullet here if you wanted to, but I don't think he's able to use another bullet.
Justin.
Like, that was a bad game. What did he say? We got dominated in all facets?
I think we have a clip. Possibly. You know what? We have clips from the players.
I'm paraphrasing, but he said we got dominated in all facets. They did.
Our team behind the glass, they look for post-game audio. And there's nothing of relevance from Sheldon Keefe because he can't say anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But Marner did say something. We'll play Marner's clip first.
You know, we started games good. Tonight we didn't. It seemed like every period we just didn't come out ready to go, and kind of the last half of the period we started playing the game that we needed to, and like I said, it's just kind of unacceptable. We know it. We talk about it on the bench. We talk about it in this locker room, and we got to make sure that things change quickly, and we're getting ready to switch our mindset to San Jose.
Echoed by what stud William Nylander, by the way, he's been playing excellent. This is what he had to say.
Came out flat. I think that's what the issue was. Other than that, I think we came back pretty good. I mean, in the last, like, 10, 8 minutes, but that's not good enough against a team like these guys.
Correct.
Yeah.
Not good enough.
I guess they're allowed to tell the truth.
Although
I'll call out Marner for not telling the truth. Because he was asked about if he was frustrated, and he said no. And I'm like, if there's one emotion that is most prevailing or most obvious when you look at Marner and Matthews and the Leafs in general, it's frustration. Like, if there's one emotion that has been felt more than any other emotion through 7 games to start the season, it is undeniably frustration. So I'm not sure why they can't say that. Why they can't say, yeah, it's a bit frustrating, but we know we're going to get it on track. I just, again, why is that so hard? Because it's just false.
It's because it's the media's fault, Justin. We are the reason why.
We are the reason why. Patently false to say that you're not frustrated. Because I don't know how you could be anything but frustrated if you're a player, a fan, a coach of this team right now based on that performance and what we've seen through 7 games.
Poor Matthews, eh? Can't buy a goal.
Yeah.
But I wrote this in the doc during the second period, hoping that, like, you know, reverse jinx it.
Yeah.
Oh, Matthews is struggling, hoping that the karma gods would change around. It didn't. There's a lot, like, there's that one chance where it, like, rolls across the goal line. I don't know how that didn't go in. He's just like a little snake bit.
What are those, you've sent that tweet with the candles.
Yeah. It's like manifesting.
It's like they need Austin Matthews to fire one into the back of the net in order to, like, get over some sort of...
Wasn't there a stretch
of time... Some sort of mental hurdle.
Where he couldn't get 60 or something? He was, like, stuck on it last year?
Yeah, he was pressing a little bit for the... Or was it Vibes? He was pressing for 60.
There was a number where he couldn't hit it, and we were all like, come on, Matthews! And then he got it, and it was like, oh, God, relief.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I mean, their sort of priorities shifted in that moment, which was maybe not the best thing leading into the playoffs, but that's neither here nor there. It just seems like there's a mental block. There's something that's, if they could just push through, if they could push down that wall, that they could break through. And they had one of those shifts in that game, I believe it was the first period, where they were absolutely electric, dominant. They could have scored 4 or 5 times. And that was the norm last season. We were seeing that two or three times a game where they'd have one of those shifts where it's just like, oh my God, watching this team is amazing. We've had one of those shifts this year. That may be a little inaccurate, but we had one of those shifts last night, and we've had few of them all year long where Matthews and Marner are buzzing the way they can. So that's part of it. Like, it's poor Matthews a little bit because he deserved better on that play, but it's also like we need to see more of that if you're going to actually break through this wall that you seem to be running into over and over again here.
5-game goalless drought matches his longest from all of last season.
And only 2 goals combined between those 2 players this year. David Kampf has 2 goals.
Willie has been great, and John Tavares has been great. Johnny gets hit with a laser beam from Rasmus Sandin, which...
Yeah,
scary. That was terrifying.
Like, it looked like his body went limp.
I think it did. He couldn't move.
Yeah.
And that's when, you brought that up, how far away this team is from depth. Right away, okay, what do they do now? Like, who's going to play? Who are they calling up? Like, it was an immediate, okay, if this is as serious as an injury as it looks, what are they going to do? And then comes back in the game. But still, like, it was a frightening few moments. I thought he shattered his kneecap.
Yeah. That he came back in that game was shocking. But again, it is a reminder of, like, okay, it's a 2-line team right now from an offensive perspective. Is it suddenly a 3-player team from an offensive perspective if you lose Tavares for any meaningful length of time? Which, again, looked like a certainty with the way he went down, with the way he was crawling off the ice, with the way he needed basically 2 people to hoist him off the ice into the tunnel. And then, what, 4 minutes later, he's back?
He's like, what's up, guys?
It's crazy how those things work.
Look at Charlie, it's like a stinger.
Yeah, and stinger, I mean, Jake Muzzin's had the stingers before, and that was serious.
It's going to be a monster bruise on his leg.
I guess a stinger in the lower half is not as bad as a stinger in the neck area, of course, thankfully. But again, it is a reminder. Well, like, this is very much a possibility where one of these guys goes down, and all of a sudden you are searching for it. You are searching for any sort of offensive spark. Because we know we're not, we know where we're not going to get it. Pierre Engvall, terrible again in that game. Kalle Järnkrok looks very, very limited offensively. Kerfoot's Kerfoot. The fourth line, whichever one that you want to use, you're not going to get much offense from. Like, it really comes down to those four again and again and again. And if four goes to three, it is trouble.
What did you think of, first of all, Logan Thompson? Hello, who are you? 25-year-old goaltender. What did you think of that?
Might be the Calder Trophy winner.
Seriously, where did this guy come from? What happened with that mask?
I hate the mask.
I
loved it on Flurry. I loved it for Flurry.
It's different. You're not Flurry. You can't pull it off.
You can't wear that, dude. That's Marc-Andre Fleury's mask.
The pads didn't also complement it. Like, I think Fleury had like a bit of like a fit. This seemed out of...
It's the same. It's like gold pads, flashy gold mask.
I don't like it on him.
No. You gotta earn the gold mask.
It's like you have to earn the respect to wear the bubble or the tinted visor. And this guy, you're not there yet. Except last night. And like this season has been pretty good. Like,
he has been good.
Logan Thompson. That put him in your fantasy teams, folks.
That was the big issue with Vegas. Like... You put together this team, have to make all these concessions, burn all these bridges. And the biggest bridge burn was with the guy who put your franchise on the map, Marc-Andre Fleury. You traded him away because you preferred Robin Leonard. Then you mistreat Robin Leonard with Pete DeBoer. Mm. And now you're turning to
the sword.
A guy who played for Brock University a couple years ago.
Oh, the Badgers?
Brock University.
Good for him.
Not to
U Sports action.
Like that, it's hard to make the leap from U Sports.
Wow, I didn't even know that. That's incredible.
Yeah, hard to make the leap from U Sports to the NHL.
He played 1 year.
Still
at Brock.
I mean, I think Jesse Granger of The Athletic wrote a pretty good piece on him. Like it was an uncertain road. We'll just say that to the NHL. For Logan Thompson, but now he's rocking the gold mask.
Good for him.
Gold pads.
Maybe I respect him more. He played 24 games at Brock and had 18 wins and a .934 save percentage.
I'd hope his numbers were pretty good. Although I don't know if that Brock team can defend as well as Vegas can.
Okay, I got a text here from Alex and Bolton. Who picks their music in the dressing room? It must change. They got to change something up.
Hold on, we're blaming the music in the dressing room?
No, I'm just saying, like, the in-between of periods, like...
Okay.
Do something different.
Yeah.
It's not working.
What is entering the ears of these players? Like,
Hopefully, let's change the speed.
Are they talking? Is Keith talking? Is it music? Like, what is happening?
I'd love to be a fly on the wall.
I would love to be a fly on the wall as well. What is happening between periods? But again, this has been a forever issue, so it's not like, hey, they're tuning out Keefe's message. That's silly. It's silliness.
Don't say that because you'll get in trouble.
Yeah. Actually, we haven't gotten any trouble.
No, we're good. Like, in general, the media's gotten in trouble. So yeah, we are technically part of that.
The media's gotten in trouble. And the media shouldn't be in trouble. The Leafs should be in trouble because they're showing their warts here 7 games in.
All right, well, one final text here before we switch to a positive. Mike from Assiniboia. Nick Rocket Richard still outscoring Mitch and Matthews. Nick Ritchie.
Oh, Nick Ritchie.
It's a good one.
Rocket Ritchie.
Get it? All right, so Phil Kessel's going to make history tonight. Love to see it. He tied.
Oh, they got a back-to-back?
He tied.
Doesn't have to wait, eh?
I don't believe so. Don't put me on the spot, but I think I think they play tonight against the San Jose Sharks. And they do. So he's going to make history on the road. He's going to set the new Iron Man streak. Hopefully he gets his 400th goal in the same evening. It's the San Jose Sharks. Least favorite team to watch, so good on you. And we're going to talk about this later, but is Phil Kessel a Hall of Famer? Text in 590-590. Where do you fall on that debate? Kessel, Hall of Fame, first ballot, second ballot, never ballot? Let us know.
Yeah, we got Kipper on later. They talked about it yesterday, so we'll get his take. We'll get your take, and we'll provide our take after we talk with Kipper.
We'll let you ponder that in the text line before you get into it. Okay. The Raptors with a revenge win over the Miami Heat.
Big, big win.
Massive win. And a massive night for your guy, Precious Achiuwa. Yeah. How you feeling this morning?
Yeah, is this the first edition of something to Achiuwa on?
You don't put the word two in it. Something Achiuwa on.
Okay. I'll work on
it. It's okay.
Anyway, he pulled down 22 boards, which was like
fourth
most in a single game in Raptors history. And I loved, well, I kind of loved and I hated the comment postgame.
But the most off the bench ever.
Most off the bench ever. Okay. The comment was, I'm down to beat this team every day. I kind of, I like the pettiness. I love it. But we need Precious Achiuwa to play like that all the time. We need him to be hunting down rebounds at that rate in every game because we know it's possible. We know it's possible that he has that big of an impact on a game because he did it versus the Heat. He did it versus Bam Adebayo. He did it versus, I'm assuming, a better rebounding team overall. So Precious was part of the big part of the story yesterday. Chris Boucher sort of faded in his return to the lineup.
Oh, thought, he came in with I the two of them. Energy.
Those two together are a different thing. Together, they are better than when they are apart, it seems. Although Precious was able to carry the momentum throughout the game. So very, very encouraging that in a game where you didn't have Scottie Barnes, where you were missing something from your starting lineup, that your bench was better and your bench was able to make a big, big difference, especially because you were losing. You know, we're talking about Scottie Barnes playing some point guard, but he's your starting center. So you lost part of that. You had Christian Coloco in the starting lineup. And when he was showing a bit of that rookie, some of those rookie lumps early where he was being, he was the mismatch. He was what the Heat were using to create their own advantages in the game. He was, you know, making some mistakes that you would expect. They were able to dip into the bench, bring Achiuwa and Boucher out there, and they were a big part of them winning that game, certainly Achiuwa.
Well,
in the
that tandem
quarter.
Looks great. They work well together. So Nick Nurse decided to not shuffle that
it's
up.
A lot put, to deal with on
put
off
Christian
the bench.
Coloco in the starting lineup, which is his first start ever. I think there's like, oh, that's surprising at first, but then you saw like the impact of how good they were off the bench together as a tandem, and you realize, well, let's not break that up.
And I think part of the Coloco thing was like, hey, we love you, man. You stood up for yourself. You stood up for the team. You got ejected when you shouldn't have. I'm sure they're going to be paying his fine at some degree. I don't know how that's all going to happen, but I think that's like, hey, you're part of this team. Now let's get you in the starting lineup. And
yeah,
it didn't necessarily go as planned, but they had that ace up their sleeve, which was that two-headed monster off the bench with energy and size with Boucher and Achiuwa. Mm-hmm. And it's a big part of the story. But, I mean, Pascal obviously was a big part of the story. I thought Fred was probably, in some ways, the difference of the game, just seeing a little bit of a different Fred.
A different Fred
than the previous three games.
This yesterday, Monday morning, we talked about the Raptors Friday and Saturday games where Fred had taken a facilitator role. He's shooting less. He hurt us and he changed it up last night, deployed him differently. I think that has to do with the back-to-back games against Miami, both a great coaching matchup. They know how to, you know, take advantage of seeing each other twice in 2 days. He definitely had a different impact last night. We're going to talk to Alvin Williams at 7, who was great on the call yesterday. Very fun. What a beautiful shirt.
You like that, like the fit.
He looked very Miami, let me tell you that.
Yes, yes, he did.
The guys had fun. It was great to see Scottie Barnes, the Canadian tuxedo on the sidelines. It was like a Playboy jacket.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Damn, buddy. It's like Miami Fashion Week's
sure
coming
I
up.
Not sure I rate that fit between, as much as Alvin's,
between the
but
two of them, I was like, well, God, a couple fits.
Statements in Miami.
Shout out to Savannah Hamilton, who made her, I believe,
got that quote from Precious.
Courtside reporter debut, or the first time that I was really dialed in on that one, live.
She was there for Brooklyn as well.
Okay, well, I was at a brewery.
Yes.
I missed that one. Yeah, that's amazing for her. Her team's looking good.
Yeah, just quickly to, like, this is a tough schedule to start the season.
Yes.
Cleveland was no pushover. Brooklyn, Miami, all the way. And now you come home two games against Philly. You're hosting an elite team back-to-back, which these weird scheduling quirks, but 2-2 going into this set with Philly. If you get out of this first six games, 3-3, with four games combined versus Miami and Philly, and five games if you want to add Brooklyn in there, that's a really, really good start to the season. So they still have to get a victory over Philly on home court this week. But I think, you know, that victory over Miami sort of changes the outlook of this early season segment. And now I think they could, it could turn into a real, real positive if they can get three wins from these six games and then really start to put it all together.
And they're back at home tomorrow against Philadelphia and then again Friday. So two opportunities, again, close up to see, make adjustments if game one doesn't go well or game one does go well.
And that's another positive that you made the adjustments. You made the adjustment to beat Miami rather than they made the adjustment against a younger team. That says something about Nick Nurse's preparation and this team's ability to, you know,
I never have doubt that he's a great coach and he'll make adjustments, and we saw that.
It's just you don't have the veteran team in this scenario. Mm. And Spoelstra is just as good as a coach, I guess, as Nick Nurse. He's widely regarded as one of the best in the league. So I think that's a really, really big positive to be able to beat Miami in that second game in Miami.
Raptors starters played a lot of minutes last night. Pascal, 41. Fred VanVleet, 39. Gary Trent, 42. It wasn't the story of the game, though, for a reason, because they needed to be out there. And this is what we talked about when we did our Raptors over-under predictions last week, where I said that I think Fred might play more. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what the number was set at. Because
38, I think.
Going to be closer games where you're going to need those guys. But it wasn't a question. Like, I was never watching the game be like, whoa, they're putting the minutes up. Like, they needed to be out there, and they were victorious because they put those guys in the lineup and pushed them.
Yeah,
and it's early.
Fred had to be a different player in yesterday's game. He had to be more assertive. We're talking about how they're sort of resting him while playing him through the first. Like, his usage is a different thing, and we should ask Alvin about it. But he was a different player down the stretch in that game, and that's why I think he was, you know, a big part of why they won the game, because he's able to sort of understand when he has to be, when he has to make that usage count, and when he can kind of just be a coach on the floor, per se. But they also get some decent minutes from Malachi Flynn over these last couple of games, and Delano Banton's still the first off the bench. So it's not like they're like totally, totally thin and they have nowhere to turn, but they still needed full Fred to get through that one.
Another question to ponder, folks listening, text in 590-590. Watching yesterday's game, let's take a look back at the sign and trade. The Precious Achiuwa, Kyle Lowry, little switcheroo. It's interesting to wonder, did the Raptors sneakily get the better end of the Kyle Lowry sign and trade? Yesterday, obviously, Kyle Lowry, 1 from 8 from the floor. There was one point where the Heat crowd, one person yelled, was shouting, retire. That's pretty sad. But you look at the performance that Precious put up, his young ability, against a revenge game, which I totally missed in the wake and rake. I should have been on that. And you look at Kyle Lowry, and you look at what happened with the trade. Raptors trade Lowry. They get Precious and Dragic, then trade Dragic and get Thad and a second-round pick, Koloko. They had to get rid of a first. But evaluate that whole experience. Did the Raptors sneakily win that? Just something a chew on.
Well, let me quote the birthday boy.
Oh.
From last night. Precious is that dude. They won the trade. They won that sign and trade.
We know where Daniele falls.
And, I mean, I can't say it better than that. It was just imperative that they got something for it. And it seems like it was a bit of a gamble. But I you know where I stand on Precious. I think he can be something. And his first couple games were brutal. He was great in Miami. But can you be great somewhere other than Miami? I guess that's what he's got to prove over the balance of the season. Because he floats in and out a little bit too much. But when he's engaged, when he's coming off the bench, when he's paired with Chris Boucher, he seems like he can be a force for this team. We talked about X Factors. He can be that guy. But again, he's got to do it for prolonged stretches every night. It's about making it a habit rather than doing it once.
One other thing that was history-breaking or record-breaking last night, Fred VanVleet moved to second place on the Raptors' all-time three-point shooting last night with 4 triples. 805 in his career. Kyle Lowry has 1,500. It is not even close. 700 more than Fred VanVleet. And Pascal passed Vince Carter for 10th most games played in franchise history.
He can't get to that mark, can he?
Who, Fred?
Fred can't get to
that. Was he going to play for 20 more years? There's no way he's going to get 700 more threes for the Raptors. He might not even play for the Raptors.
Well, he could play as long as Kyle played here.
700 more threes. Let's divide that. How many games are in a season? 82?
Yeah.
700 divided by 82. He's got to get 8.
I don't think that's
and
right.
A half per game. Is that the right math?
That's over 82 games, though. He's not going to do it in 82 games.
Okay, so how many more seasons is he going to play?
Well, if he signs a new contract, he's going to get the opportunity to, no?
Okay, so you think we should just set a future bet between you and I down the road. Well, no. Fred VanVleet pass
in
Kyle
the break,
Lowry.
We should say how many threes does he hit per year? And then if he lasts, you know, if he lasts 4 or 5 more years, he's got a chance.
All right.
We got Alvin on. I want to ask Alvin about what record, you know, when he left the Raptors that he was most proud of. Like, where in the basketball reference page? Because his name is still popping up there, but a lot of these new guys have passed him in a lot of different areas. But what he had the most pride in terms of his place in Raptors history.
It's pretty good. Good question for Alvin.
Thank you.
We got Alvin at seven. we have our buddy Ty Dunn, who just came out with a new book just after National Tight Ends Day. We'll chat with him at 7:30. And then Kipper at 8 o'clock. I'm sure he'll be fired up this morning. He's probably putting the coffee on now, stretching his arms out, ready to toss out some takes. We're going to take your takes at 590-590. Is Phil Kessel a Hall of Famer? Did the Raptors win the sign and trade with Kyle Lowry? Somebody just texted, did you say something a chew on? I sure did. That's our new segment where Justin Cuthbert gives me positive Precious Achiuwa takes.
It could be negative too.
Ooh, any just, Precious just Achiuwa precious takes. Something a chew on. That's after we do the A-list, but that's up next, the A-list on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sportsnet 590.
Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We did some math, which is not my strong suit. Let me tell you that. I avoided that at all costs in my 2 college degrees. Yikes. The only math I could do is how many stats I was putting up, which is usually single digits on one finger counting. Okay, so Fred VanVleet, 28 years old. He's 714 threes away from passing Kyle Lowry. Now, last year, he had his best season of threes, 242 on the year. Before that, though, 174, 146, 112, 108. Just giving you the numbers.
Right.
So last year, just an extraordinary amount.
So last year, he averaged about 3.5 per game. Again, my math isn't perfect. Just did that off the top of my head. If he averages 3 per game, he needs 238 games to get to the 714.
With the Raptors, yes.
So he's still got another year. He's going to have to sign an extension, obviously, to have a chance of getting it. But if he sticks around, odds are he probably sets that mark.
But that's him being similarly competitive and in the same role. I'm just saying these are considers, something that you
so
want.
So maybe he drops to 2 per average. Maybe he needs maybe he needs 300 games. But 300 games would be about 3.5 more seasons.
All right. It depends how this contract negotiation goes and if he's a Raptor.
Just something to chew on.
There you go.
I got it. I cannot say. It's really hard for me to not say something too.
You'll get there.
But I'll work on it.
You'll get there.
For the sake of the show.
Let's do the A-list.
Now it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
Nobody has a better job in the NFL than Case Keenum. But he gets paid, what, $3.5-4 million to never have a 0% chance to play against, you know, unless, God forbid, Josh Allen goes down.
Yeah, but don't say that.
Behind MVP Josh Allen, he just kind of cruises around. He seems like a very lovable, joyful soul.
He's also not a joke of a backup.
No, he's like, he can hang.
Like, there's some that are like, you know, kind of jokey.
And he gets
Chase Daniel, kind of jokey.
Yeah.
Case Keenum's actually had some success.
Yeah. And he's played a couple opportunities when the Bills are smashed in other teams. But nonetheless, he's not like last night, Bailey Zappi.
Electric.
Electric Bailey. Like, there's no quarterback competition in the Bills. Anyway, so Case Keenum.
His magic wore off a little bit.
But. Yeah, whatever. We'll talk about that in the week, right? I don't want to bring it up now. The guy's a gem. We saw the video maybe a month ago where he went incognito at training camp and was hilarious, like trying to ask players for autographs, and he was like, you know, dressed up as a fan, and most of them didn't realize who he was. So he's back in the incognito undercover world. Yesterday this video comes out, you can check it out on the Bills Twitter feed. He dresses up as an employee at the Bills shop and is So we cut like a minute clip of this. You got to go watch it because he's so funny. But he's basically trying to sell Case Keenum jerseys over Josh Allen jerseys, and no success.
Bills Mafia, Case Keenum here again. I know last time you saw me, I was undercover at training camp getting all my teammates. So today we're here at the Bills store. They were gracious enough to give me a employee ID badge. So let's see if we can sell any jerseys out there. If anybody wants a backup quarterback jersey, see if anybody needs any help today. Austin Wiley, my name is Austin. Austin. You guys trying on some 17 jerseys?
Trying them on.
Are y'all set on 17?
No.
What do y'all think about 18?
I don't know about that.
You don't know about that?
I don't know about
that. Let's see. I could give you this for half of the 17 jersey.
Half?
Yeah. Darn. It's tough in the streets here. Need to throw some more touchdowns.
Oh, he tries a couple times. He even offered that guy 50% discount.
I might have taken
50%. I would have taken that because it's kind of cool to have like a different jersey. Like, you got Case Keenum. People are like, well, maybe you're related to the guy. You're a big fan of backup QBs. But he offers this guy 50% discount. And the video's funny. He's like, no, I don't want that trash.
You think there's like 10,000 Josh Allen jerseys at stadium?
Oh.
Like per game? Do you think there's 10,000 people wearing Josh Allen jerseys?
I would
mix in a Keenum.
I'm kind of into that.
Half price?
That should be our next like show bet.
He probably could have pulled my arm.
Like, you got to buy a weird jersey. But like, I like that a lot. I would wear that proudly. Because the guy's like when the heart's over, you know? He's a fun dude. He's a fun guy.
He is a fun guy.
Former Raptor.
He's a legitimate fun guy.
Anyway, he's got a really nice life and a great job. And I would gladly accept that role. The NFL is investigating. Remember yesterday I brought it up in maybe the Wake and Rake or something to chew on. Who knows? The NFL was we saw the viral video of the referees post Bucks game going up to Mike Evans asking for autographs. Like they were fired up.
It was like
up.
A coordinated thing too.
They like, all two were, guys like, hey, were like, hey, hi. It was like Case Keenum at the Bills camp. But anyway, they're going up to him wanting autographs. You see him signing whatever it was, ball, shirt, jersey, t-shirt, and now the league is investigating it.
As they should. That looked really bad.
It looked horrible.
And what was interesting to me is like Mike Evans, it looked like it was normal to him.
He's like, hey,
like how long, how often does this happen?
He probably didn't even think about it.
He was just like, he was unfazed. He was unfazed by something that we all thought was just preposterous. So it makes me think that this happens all the time.
The league CBA says that officials shall not ask players, coaches, or any other team personnel for autographs or memorabilia. Uh-oh. Someone's in trouble.
Someone's getting an email.
Probably. One last one here. Live Golf. Everybody's favorite.
It's been a while since we have controversy. A Live Golf.
Oh, they're going to be back in your brain in a second. Planning to produce a documentary series similar to F1's Drive to Survive.
Oh, yeah.
The PGA Tour is also getting a similar Netflix documentary series filming throughout 2022.
Mm-hmm.
These two. This is adding fuel to the fire.
Is it though? Like,
yes.
I don't think anyone will care. Like, nobody
You're
even, no one
you
even watches Live Golf. No
I know,
one watches
but a
it.
Documentary series. I might be intrigued to see how they spin it. Right?
They
I'm not tuning
own,
on my YouTube
maybe.
To watch these clowns.
They already make their own content. Like if you watch, I've watched some Live Golf, and it's like they have these little segments that like are trying to be like really, you know, personality driven. Like Bryson DeChambeau is really a cool guy. He's
you would
actually
have to
cool.
pay me money to watch
and they
that
are
about Bryson.
Awful.
He's the
they
worst.
Are awful. I don't think there's any like. The thing is, like, if you want to capture, like, if you want to dramatize it, if you want something to be interesting and drama-filled, it has to actually have drama. The problem is, with Live Golf, no one cares. It's like men's night at a local country club, just played at elite level.
Millions of
it's
dollars.
It's just like, everyone is rich, everyone's getting paid to be here, everyone's enjoying themselves, it's not competitive, there is no fire, there is no, like, genuine...
There's a bit of a rivalry with Rory, though. He hates them.
Yeah, but he's not going to be in this documentary.
But
that's why the PGA Tour one will be good.
So the PGA one will obviously be electric, I hope.
But it should be good.
Golfers' personalities are often snoozy.
Best thing that could have happened to Netflix was Liv.
Yes.
Because it created drama that they were without.
But you don't think that the Liv documentary would have a little bit of that as well? Like, the guys be like, oh, I left. Like, who cares? Like, whatever. My morals are not important. I'm getting paid $150 million.
No, but they're muzzled. They can't say that.
Interesting.
Like, none of them could say, hey, why'd you go over? None of them
what's the documentary going to be
none
like?
None of them could just say, hey, money. Because they all had to act like, oh, I'm here for the team aspect of golf. It's the best thing. Like, no, that's not why you came over.
Some of them said, it's very beneficial to my family.
Yes, that's the most honest they could be. So how honest are they going to be in a doc when they can't even be honest about why they joined the tour in the first place?
It's going to be a lot. Like a waste.
It's going to be a lot of propaganda. A lot of them talking about how great team golf is when no one cares about team golf.
Are they even playing? I couldn't tell you. Like, are they done? What's their season?
I think there's one more tournament, and it's only team. Like, there's no individual aspect of it. Dustin Johnson won the individual title with like three events left. Like, he just dominated, and no one was competitive.
Yes, there is a tournament, LIV Golf Invitational Miami Match Play. In a couple days, and then LIV Golf Invitational Miami Stroke Play, all at the Trump National Golf Course. Of
naturally,
course. And the purse is $50 million.
Yeah, just for Dustin Johnson and his three teammates will be splitting $50 million. Like, I can tell you what's going to happen before it even.
Hey,
starts.
If it's a lock, put it in the waking rake.
Well, I might have to look at the odds for the.
Are we allowed
golf.
To bet on that?
I think we can mix it in, but there's no money to be made on that tournament because it's either DJ or Cam Smith winning pretty much every time.
Do you think that they are like
and
enjoying
they're like plus 300
their life? Like, it's kind of like, I wonder what their regret level is a little bit about just like losing the competitive spirit of something you have strived your whole life to be. I don't know. Like,
that's what I wondered with Cam Smith, honestly. Because
I was so sad when Cam Smith. Like, that one hurt the most.
I didn't care about any of it until Cam Smith left because I'm like, this guy I'm going to watch on the PGA Tour go head to head with Rory and Rom for the next 15 years. Mm-hmm. And then he pulled the chute and his reasoning was, well, I want to live in Australia. And then you're like I said, that makes kind of sense. If you can get paid 10 times as much and actually live the life you want, that does make sense. But like, most of these guys are just way over the hill. It doesn't matter to them anymore. They don't care about the morality mm-hmm. issue and they can't compete at the highest level anymore aside from DJ. So I just don't think it matters to any of them. Really. But you're right. Cam was the only one I was like, damn.
That one hurt.
That sucks.
All right. That was your A-list for this morning.
That's our monthly LIV Golf chat.
And that's it. We're going to have Alvin Williams after the break talk about Raptors' big revenge win against the Heat last night and their upcoming doubleheader against Philadelphia. And then we'll have our guy Ty Don at 7:30 and Nick Kiprios at 8. That's next on the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish.